Very good afternoon to you. It's just gone 12 o'clock midday on the 21st of March 2024. You are listening to Talk and Tunes with Timmy on UCC 98.3 FM. As always, I am your host, Timmy O'Riordan, with you until 1. Now, I have a very exciting show lined up for you over the next hour. I'm delighted to be joined by a very special guest. She's a content creator and mindset development coach who's amassed over 34,000 followers on TikTok and 1.5 million likes on TikTok, and she's bordering 13,000 followers on her Instagram page. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by the one and only Robin Courtney. Robin, you're very welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Absolutely delighted to be here.
You're it's getting so all exciting to have you.
Oh, thank you. When you asked me last week, I was like, I'm honored. Of course I'm going to come on your show.
It isn't your first time on Student Radio.
No. You actually remind me a bit of me when I was in college. I actually had my own radio show too.
I take that as a serious compliment.
Yeah. I actually went to college in Maynooth, and very different from UCC. It's up in Kildare.
Yeah.
And we had a radio station called Mars FM.
Okay.
And me and my pal Michelle, any excuse to not actually go to classes, any excuse to just get creative and have fun, we would jump on it.
Yeah.
So we had our radio show called Wing It, where basically we would just jump in for the hour and wing the entire thing. And it was on a Thursday from like 6 to 7. So like the perfect pre-drinking tunes before you go out on Thursday night. It was great.
It would actually be so fun as well to be like inside listening to your tunes, and you have like the you're just having your pre-drink like chats as well.
The crack. We weren't allowed alcohol in the studio, but well, we brought it in once and they were like, get out of your show, it's cancelled.
Strict about that. Yeah. We're not like promote anything with alcohol, or it's very strict around kind of student union stuff, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely I was tempted to bring someone in who'd had a few drinks before and just kind of try and get something out of them.
Plenty of radio
We did a 24-hour broadcast during Rag Week.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
I was kind of, we did like, I was the like 1 to 2 slot. So that was essentially when it was a Tuesday and like everyone would have been out. And I was like, wouldn't it be so funny to bring on one of my friends after who's absolutely sloshed?
Rag Week is gas. You know what Rag Week stands for?
It's raise and give, isn't
it? It's literally an entire week for charity. But like, I feel like students just don't even realize that.
Emphasized at all, really.
I don't think I've ever seen like an actual charity piece in Rag Week. You just see like all the sessions and all the student union like crack going on. But yeah, you kind of forget that it's actually for charity.
You kind of would.
Yeah.
The broadcast that we did do was for charity. So that at least nice. There is that. And it was so fun. I was in here at like 1 in the morning. I was like, this is so strange. God. Campus was empty. We had to be kind of let in and out by security.
Yeah.
Deadly.
So fun.
Now, Robin, I think I'm going to kick off with a question. Robin, you graduated with a degree in biomedical science in 2018, 6 years later, and here we are on the radio talking about your career as a content creator and mindset coach. Can you tell us a bit about that transition from scientist to social media star?
Oh my God, scientist to social media?
I thought that was a good
what
one.
What a jump.
I needed the S's to work.
Loved it.
I was going to go with social media guru.
Either or. Like, yeah. I've been called way worse. I suppose the transition was very, I'm not going to say gradual, because I've been like creating content for 10 plus years. Like my first YouTube video, a terrible video, but I did it in like 2018. It was a travel vlog on my little GoPro when we went to a little family trip to Paris on a cruise. And then I did it again with my besties when we went to Paris. But I always knew, well, I feel like it's very difficult to choose what you want to do when you're like 17 years old. First of all, I'm like, why are we forced to choose a degree when we're 17, when we don't even know who we are?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're constantly developing interests. We're constantly, and I feel like in secondary school, there's so many limited subjects. There's so many subjects that aren't even touched on in secondary school, like marketing and like entrepreneurship and all these incredible things that you learn to grow into as you go into college, because you're opened up to all these incredible things that are happening that you don't get to see in secondary school. So obviously when I was in secondary school, like my only kind of interest that I had outside of being creative was science. Do you know what I mean? And so I kind of picked my subject, my degree, based on what my core interest was at that time.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved Grey's Anatomy as well. I don't know if that influenced my
that's where the biomedical comes in.
So I guess, but then when I started to kind of go into biomedical science, you know, I was opened up to all these cool opportunities in college, like you and the radio show. I had my radio show, you know, I'd be a part of the clubs and socks. You kind of got into all like the societies, and you start start to really gain these really cool leadership skills and these really new interests. And from there on out, I was like, maybe science isn't for me. And you know what it was? It wasn't until like after I graduated when I just couldn't get a job.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my friends went on to do PhDs. They went on to do like masters. They went on to do medicine. And I was like, I'm not doing any of that. I remember I was bawling for like the last week of college because I just couldn't handle any more exams.
Yeah.
I think I set 56 exams throughout the 4 years.
Oh my God.
Now that includes a few repeats. Don't get me wrong. I had a couple of repeats, a couple of summers. Which first year, like I made a balls of it. Like literally had like 5 repeats that summer. I was crying when everyone was way under J1. So I'm never doing repeats again. I never set a repeat after that. But yeah. And then like when I couldn't get a job, I was like, okay, like and then COVID hit. I was like, I really want to like sit down and figure out like who I am, what I want to be.
Yeah.
But I always knew deep down that I was never meant to do something traditional.
Yeah.
I was never meant for a traditional role. I've done the 9-to-5 office job. I've done the online, like worked with Shopify, worked with eBay. Like I'd done the kind of school tours. I was a science, oh my God, it was like glorified babysitting. It was like a science camp instructor with like 5-year-olds running around doing experiments.
Yeah,
and I was like,
chaotic.
What am I doing? I did it for the money. Like that's all I had to do. But yeah, so then fast forward and I kind of, yeah, I always knew I wasn't meant for an additional role. And I think when you start to do things, like you'll start to do things when you overcome the fear of judgment and when you overcome that discomfort what comes with being disliked. Like if you're okay with being disliked, you'll do great because like you'll try new things, you'll get creative, you'll show up in different ways that people are like, wait, how does she have the confidence to do that? Or Jesus, is that not a bit weird? But then like once you become successful, it's no longer weird. It's admirable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird at first.
Yeah.
Like if you start a radio show, your friends will be like, why are you doing a radio show? Then all of a sudden you're on Cork 96 FM and you're like, oh, Flair Play Pal, you're on the radio show. It's like, you weren't supporting me 5 years ago though when you thought it was weird, you know?
You have exactly that kind of funny. You have to start off being like maybe a little bit, considered a little bit odd.
Yeah.
And then eventually maybe you'll kind of gain the respect of your peers. But in the end of the day, it doesn't even really matter if you're enjoying what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But again, like finding that confidence to do something different and try something different takes a long time to get there. And if you're born with it, fair play to you. But for me, like, you know, I think even getting on TikTok and starting like that food series, you know, it wasn't something that I expected to blow up. And that's a really cool thing about social media is like the next big creator is like literally around the corner. It could be anybody. It just takes that one video to upload it, to try it. And you never know like what doors will open.
Yeah.
From there, you know,
exactly.
So
and we will be talking about your food series a little bit later in the show.
So long story short, how did I get from science to social media? Pure, I'm not going to say luck, because it definitely wasn't luck. It was hard work and consistency, discipline and dedication. But I think if you're open to try new things and just continue pushing on when there's a lot of setbacks, like you'll get there.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the kind of social media industry that inspires you?
Oh, good question. There's a couple of like creators that I think are super talented. I have the privilege of like knowing and being friends with a lot of them. And that's other really cool side of like social media is you get to meet the most incredible creative people ever. And a lot
and
of
such
my,
a diverse community as well, I'd say.
Absolutely. Yeah. And every like month on month, there's new creators coming forward. There's new types of editing. There's new types of like skills that are being shown online.
Yeah.
And even from there, like all my friends inspire me. Like you have the likes of Joshua Nueva. I don't know if you follow Josh online. He does like outdoor Irish wildlife content creating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then you have like Kevin from Wild Irish Wonder, who does like the most incredible hikes up Mount Eargal. And you have like so many cool creators.
Yeah.
And then you have like other YouTubers, like more kind of American bigger YouTubers that I follow, that I just love their style of storytelling and love their style of creating. So I love to watch, like that would be my kind of consuming. I wouldn't be a big consumer on TikTok. Like I would create, I wouldn't really consume, but when it comes to following like my favorite creators on YouTube, I would definitely consume their content because I think their content is just, it's fascinating to see the world through their eyes, you know.
I'd say it can be helpful as well in terms of like maybe if the creative juices are low, like to maybe see what other people are doing and gain some inspiration from that without copying it, but to kind of maybe just see how you could maybe integrate it a bit into your own material.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is as well, like in this industry, like I think you have to come to the realization that you will never really have an original idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And especially as creators, like, no idea is ever truly original. Maybe 10 years ago it was. But if you look at it now, like, everybody has adapted an idea from something.
Yeah.
You know, it might not necessarily be copying, but it can be inspired from. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've started, like, creating meetups and hosts and, like, and all that kind of thing. And eventually you'll start to see other people being like, oh, I feel really inspired by her. I'd love to do my own meetups.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, like, you have all these incredible things just blooming from one person's video or idea.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you can see it from two different ways. You can see it from, oh, she's copying me, that's not really cool, she didn't even credit me. Or you could see it from, like, oh, she inspired me. You know, I really like the content that she created. I'm going to get inspired. But obviously, it's very important to not cross the border when it comes to stealing other people's content, because it happens. People steal content online, you know, and then they're blowing up and they never credit the creator. And then all of a sudden, it happens in music, it happens in podcasts, it happens online on TikTok. So there is definitely a borderline you have to be very careful about.
Yeah.
But just credit the person and get inspired, you know?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, just since we were talking a little bit about your time in college, if you could maybe give a piece of advice to your college self, what would you say?
Oh my God, piece of advice to your self. Don't go out that much. Don't go out every night of the week. No, I'm messing. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I have no regrets when I came to college. Like, I threw my, throw yourself into everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think go to all the clubs and societies, try all the, like, I remember, like, every, like, couple of months I try something new. Like, I try archery, then I try volleyball, and then I try the radio, and then there'd be like a snow sports committee, and like, you try all these different things, because how are you supposed to know what you like if you don't try them? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you go and you try volleyball for the first time, you could be incredible at volleyball and you might join the team and then go on to, like, actually play, like, for bigger competitions.
Yeah.
You just never know. Throw yourself into absolutely everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great piece of advice. Mm. I'd always kind of tell people the same as well, that, like, because just, I only have 1 year of experience in college, but I know, like, just getting involved is so important to kind of, I guess, bring on your social life and bring on just your own confidence and abilities. It's been fantastic. Now, digital content creator as a profession is, like, a relatively new idea, I suppose. Yeah. What did your friends and family say when you said, I'm going to try and make a living out of this?
Like, they always just kind of watched me do my thing.
Yeah.
Like, even from when I was, like, a kid, I would just always be doing my own thing. I'd be like, I went to the States, you know, on a J1 1 year. Nobody would come with me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go off to this to New York, work in a summer camp for a summer, live my best life, do my own thing. And no one really, like, nodded, batted an eye. They were like, oh, Robin's off again. Let her off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was always kind of working on, I would always be working, like, a full-time job, but I was always doing something on the side. And, like, even Sasha now, my boyfriend, he'd be like, what projects are you working on again? Where are you going again? What are you doing again? Do you know what I mean? So, like, a lot of, it's hard to actually, like, keep up with me, like, if I wasn't chatting with you every day. So my mum would check in, be like, so what did you do this week, Robin? And I'm like, oh, I'm working with a really cool car brand. And she's like, oh, very good. You know what I mean? So, like, they don't really, they do, they see what I'm doing, but I don't know if they fully understand it.
Okay, but they're kind of happy to go along with it. And that's kind of the main thing.
Like, thing about it is, I don't even think it was hard for them to accept that I wasn't going to go back to science, because I feel like you'd rather see your family really happy and inspired and doing what they love, rather than being miserable in a job that might be paying very well, but, like, hating their life. Do you know?
It's not all about the money in the end of the day.
No, it's important, but
it's important. But
it's not the end all or be all. You know?
Yeah. What would you say is one of the most exciting experiences that you've had as a creator so far?
Oh my God, so many. Like, so many. Like, even in the last year, it's just been like a whirlwind of, like, really cool opportunities. The first one that, like, sticks out in my head was probably the first time I was on set with Tesco. I got to go up to Dublin and get, like, mic'd up and, like, get my hair and makeup done did a really cool filming project for their summer campaign.
Yeah.
And I got to work with, like, God, what was his name? He was a really cool rugby player. And this other, like, female, like, creator can't even remember their name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But that was really, really cool. And then I got invited to go up to like the Instagram headquarters for like Instagram University by like Instagram, which I was like, oh, what a slay.
What is Instagram University?
It was more of just like a day dedicated to creators to give them insight into like any upcoming features that are coming out on
the app.
So you're
not heading off to Instagram HQ for 4 years and getting your degree?
No. This was like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring it, if it's a thing in a couple of years. Yeah. But no, it was just like a day kind of thing where all like Ireland's biggest creators come up and just got to learn and kind of get insight into the app as to what's coming. But then there's been other things as well, just even smaller goals that are like hosting my own meetups and like doing sellout like travel group trips.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's, and I feel like as well in this world of creating, like it's moving so fast, as in like an opportunity comes, you do it and it goes. You almost don't even get a chance to like sit and actually like be like,
Think about it.
Yeah. Like you wake up, you're like, did I actually just do that? And then it kind of hits you and you're like, wow. But you're completely focused on the next step, so you don't even get a chance to sit with it too long, do you know?
Yeah.
But I'd say my biggest like thing that I'm absolutely so happy about is probably selling out my first group trip to Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
we're going to talk a bit about your group trips later in the show as well. You just said there actually about, Joe, the way you're kind of always thinking about the next thing and the next thing. Is it important? I know that you are like a mindset development coach as well. Mm-hmm. So would you be good at maybe kind of doing exercises to stay present and try and keep that kind of mindset of staying in the now?
Yeah. And I think as well, when you become a creator at first, everything is content. Everything is content. Do you know what I mean? Your breakfast is content, you know, heading off on a girls' weekend, it's content. And like at first I wasn't great at it because I was always just like, I have to film this or I have to film that.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, oh, what's the point in like having all these incredible opportunities if I can't even like be present and actually enjoy them?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there has been like a couple of things that I've implemented. And the really cool thing about it is as well, like a lot of the work that I do, I get to do with other creators.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the really cool thing about it is as well, is that like they'll all be capturing pieces of content, I'll be capturing pieces of content, and we'll all just share the content together. So everyone kind of gets to just take a little piece, share it, and we have the whole 360 then of the weekend rather than letting the content depending on one person.
Yeah.
So everyone gets to really switch off, but also do a bit of work and have a really nice balance between being present and then actually capturing the moment on the phone. Do you know what I mean? I think like all of us are really sound like that. It's not a secretive thing where you're like, you can't have that video or you can't. No, I shot that. That's my video.
Yeah.
You know, like we're all really cool. We'll all just create a big like group album, throw everything into the album, and just edit and take what you want from it.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, that's great to kind of have that group. You never really think about that with your creators. You're kind of just thinking, oh, they must be doing this all themselves. But like the fact that you kind of might have a team working around you as well. That's really cool.
Yeah, because like we all, like there's definitely times in the day where you're like, I don't want to take any content right now. I don't want to look at my phone. I don't want to turn on my camera.
Yeah.
I don't feel the best. You know what I mean? It's just like, I just don't want to shoot anything today.
Yeah.
But then you'll have the girls being like, oh, I'll do it today. Do you know what I mean? And then they'll shoot the content. And then the next day they'll be like, oh, you shoot today, and I'll be like, oh, grand. And then you just share it and everyone gets a piece of it.
Nice.
You know,
okay, fantastic. Nice. Okay, Robin, I think we're gonna go for a quick song.
Definitely.
I heard this one in an Irish Independent ad recently, and I just can't get it out of my head. There's this really kind of catchy riff on the banjo which I love. The song is called Flowers Fire by the very talented Irish band Kingfisher.
Love them.
Yeah. Coming up on the show, we'll be chatting about Robin's very popular Eating My Way Around Cork TikTok series, her exciting group travel experiences, and the van life. But for now, here's Flowers Fire by Kingfisher.
Little words you said spring to mind. Past my bed, both entwined. Was I being inconsistent? I'm sorry, I know that I want this for all my life. Was it my imagination consuming these flowers still blooming? They're called in a fire. Is the answer in the phoenix to the question of my life? I could be screaming hallelujah if I could only turn back time. Take back all those things I said in the tempest of a moment. But all my soul is gone and left me, and in the depths he begs for death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That was Kingfisher, Flowers Fire on UCC 98.3 FM. Makes me feel so happy, that song. Just
I love King Fisher.
Yeah, I was so glad when you said that you're a fan of Robin.
Oh my God, I seen them live. They were supporting George Ezra last year in Cork.
Yeah.
And they were just so good. And I think they're playing at All Together Now this year, or either Electric Picnic lineup hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they're playing it All Together Now. And if you get a chance to see them, do, because it's just it's so intimate and raw, and it's just, oh, great music.
Would you get actually, as like a digital creator, would you get kind of, I suppose, maybe some passes to festivals and stuff, or like maybe a few free tickets or something?
Yeah.
For EP or for All Together Now?
It's like, again, that was another like huge part of like one of my achievements last year. It's like, oh, I'd love to get invited to a festival.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such one of those things where you're like, oh man, that'd be so sick.
Yeah.
So last year I got invited to All Together Now with White Claw, you know, the drink.
Yeah,
with White Claw, and then they invited me to Electric Picnic as well. But then obviously you want to go the next step up, and you're like, an invite, you wouldn't be paid to go. They would just give you the tickets, you know, when you kind of tag them in a couple of stories and stuff like that, and be seen with the product, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of aim of that. But then last year, it's like every creator's dream to actually like get paid to go to festivals, you know. And I got an email last week from Aperol Spritz, and they were like, we really want to pay you to go to All Together Now. Like, we'll set you up with like drinks and all this. And I was like, yes,
that's so cool.
The universe heard me. Aperol Spritz, here we go. Yeah, it's deadly.
A weekend of free Aperols.
Oh my God. It's an absolute fantastic. Too many Aperols, not a thing.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that, like, I know that you kind of said when you were speaking at the marketing summit here that you, in UCC, that you weren't, that obviously you didn't do a degree in marketing, but like, that's a huge part of your job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess the thing about marketing is as well, like, I feel like there's so many free resources now that people can utilize.
Yeah.
Like, Google have marketing courses that you can do for free. There's so many, like, I think there's a program that you can log in, and it's called Upskill. I don't know what it's called, skill, but you can actually log in, and they have like incredible list of courses. So I feel like it's always something that's moving and changing, and that you can learn and adapt to. And again, you can never really fully know everything, but just give it a good shot and see what happens.
Yeah. Fantastic. Robin, your viral TikTok series, eating my way around Cork has now surpassed the 60 episode mark. Do you still love to eat your way around Cork?
I do. I love to eat my way around Cork, but my jeans do not. Like, oh my God, I literally gained, I think, like a stone and a half doing that series. And now I'm like, no. Like, we have to take a break. So it's just, again, it's one of those things where you're trying to find balance between creating the content and then just making sure you're living like a healthy lifestyle, you know? Yeah. But I'm a massive foodie. I always have been. Yeah. So the series started when I moved down to Cork, and Sasha, I didn't know anyone in Cork, and Sasha would be working during the day. Whenever I'd have a couple of days off, I'd go in and be like, I'm from Tipperary, so like, there's not a food scene around there.
It's mad. Everyone thinks you're from Cork.
No, I'm not.
Anyone that I've talked about deserves it. Yeah, they think you're from Cork.
Most successful blow.
You'll have to do like a disclaimer video or something that you are from Tip.
No, I don't want to let people know.
Just lose all your followers.
Everyone's like, unfollow. But yeah, no, the series started when I was basically bored and I was exposed to these like incredible like restaurants and like chefs and food.
What was the first episode? Where did you start?
Poulez-vous. Yeah. Which is like, people still say to me this day, being like, oh, I went to Poulez-vous in the Marina Market because I saw your video. And I'm like, wow, I've made Poulez-vous a lot of money.
I think I went to Poulez-vous in the Market because I saw your video.
I know. Yeah. That was, it's great.
And they literally, they probably sold out in probably no time Poulez-vous after that video, did they?
Yeah. Like, they messaged me the next day being like, we thank you so much for the video, but like, oh my God, like, we had to close down the next day because we're understaffed with the amount of people that came through. And that was like the first time I realized, like, holy shit, like, the power you have on social media to help change a business. And a lot of, whenever I do receive some sort of like negative comment, it's usually in the form of, why don't you have any negative reviews of food? You know, that would be like a huge thing. Because if you look back on all 60 episodes, it's all positive experiences that I've had. And at the end of the day, like, businesses are already hit with so many hardships. You know, the increase in VAT, the increase in products, the price it costs to staff. Why would someone come online and bash a business because they had a bad experience? It could have been a bad day for them. It could have been, you know, someone like, do you know what I mean? There could have been so many reasons as to why you had a bad experience, but that doesn't show the overall picture of the business.
Okay.
You know, and I often see like other food reviewers online and they'll be giving both their positive and negative experiences, but they're bashing the restaurant, like bashing it. And I'm like, there's no need to be inflicting that actual hardship on top of everything else that business owners are experiencing and dealing with, you know? So that's one
of
my morals.
Especially, I suppose, because, you know, kind of anyone can be a food critic now. I know that you probably, you have a bit of a platform for it, but like, anyone could go in with their camera if they wanted to. It might look very professional and go in and do a food review, and suddenly everyone's a critic. And if everyone's bashing you, like, that just must be to think of being a restaurant owner and trying to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, think about it is like, I've never like kind of stood up and said, oh, I'm an expert in like reviewing food. Yeah. It's like, I go in, I enjoy it, I film it, I have fun, and I showcase you what I eat.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? It's more about kind of giving, I suppose, a positive view of the restaurants in Cork, and maybe trying to up the image of, because Cork is kind of becoming the foodie capital of Ireland.
Absolutely.
Like, you can go into town and there's so many places to eat. Mm-hmm. It's actually hard to choose.
Mm-hmm. And like, a lot of the times as well, like, a lot of people that watch my videos, they'll be like, I've been living in Cork for 10 years and I've never heard of that place. Like, how do you find these places?
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I love. I love being able to like give those new restaurants or even those older restaurants that might need that bit of boost in income and customers. And if that's the best I can do with my platform online, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash them.
Exactly.
You know,
I was actually going to say, everyone that I've mentioned this interview to has been familiar with the series.
Yeah.
Do you get recognized often?
In Cork, quite often.
Yeah.
But everyone's just super sound. They're like, super you're gonna eat my way around Cork, girl. That's what they say. And I'm like, I am, yeah. Do you know, everyone is deadly. Like, I've never really had a bad interaction at all.
Yeah.
And there's some days where I'm like going in with my hun bun in a tracksuit and I'm like, hey. I'm just like rolling out of bed and I'm like, hi.
No photos
today.
You've
seen me in my natural habitat.
Unreal. So I guess the fact, I suppose what you were kind of saying is that you don't really like to, you never like to be bashing a restaurant. So I suppose if you did go in, if you had a food experience and it was disappointing, would you kind of say, I'm not going to post this?
Yeah. No, I don't post it. And you know, what's happened to me quite a lot Not quite a lot. It's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah.
When, you know, I just didn't have a great experience and I just say, you know, I'm not going to post it.
Yeah.
And that's it. End of story. Like, okay. If you've really had a bad experience, you can go and leave a Google review. And sometimes I will leave a Google review. It wouldn't be like bashing them, but it would just be like actual like helpful, being like, oh, this could have been better, or like, this was cold, maybe, yeah, you know, sort it out, you yeah know, but that's the extent of it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask, some people mentioned this idea to me, the idea of maybe doing a UCC special where you go around the different places to eat on campus and give like little reviews.
That would be gas. How many places is there to eat on campus?
It would blow up with all the students. Like,
how many places are there to eat on campus?
There's a good few now, in fairness. Like, really? There's inside the main restaurant, you've over in the places over in the student center,
yeah,
cafes, and then you kind of have, do you know, the little places around college as well that like we'd almost kind of consider like college UCC places to eat, but like they're just kind of off campus. Like, yeah, we kind of consider those. I'd say you could review those as well, and people yeah wouldn't bat an eye.
I actually went, like, obviously I live in Kinsale, so it's not yeah often that I'm in, like, I don't really go out a lot in Cork City, but I obviously after the commerce, like, marketing panel, I was like, oh, I'll go for a few pints, be grand. And then I went to Pasta Amore.
Oh, do you yeah know Pasta yeah Amore? The one on yeah on
right
Park Street,
the
yeah
Lemon Tree. First of all, I went into the Lemon Tree and I was buzzing for a 4-in-1. And then they were like, cash only. And I was like, what do you mean cash only?
It's the most upsetting words that you can hear.
But like they had card machines. I don't know what they were doing, but I was like, I just wanted a 4-in-1. I was like, you yeah know what? Fine. I'm gone to Pasta Amore. And I had
no eating my way around Cork for
yeah
you.
Lemon Tree, you missed out, pal. I went into Pasta Amore and it was bomb. Like, I think I got like pasta, like garlic bread and Coke Zero for €11. Oh. And I think that was my 60th episode on yeah eating my way around Cork. And I got yeah like 50,000 views, 60,000 views. And I'm like, I'm hoping.
We were very excited to be the UCC students that you went out with before. We were like, oh my God, we got mentioned.
I had a great night. I had so much fun. Yeah. And then I went back to the college campus though, and the car was locked in.
Oh my God.
I know. And Sasha started freaking out, because obviously Sasha's French. He doesn't really understand that like there's a campus security. This happens all the time. Yeah. Don't worry, relax. And so I just like rang, because it's happened to me back in college a minute, and I rang security. I was like, I'm really, really sorry. I know you're probably chilling, having a cup of tea, because it was like 1 a.m. on a Thursday yeah night or whatever. And he came down and he let the car out. And he was like, we were just like two bold children eating our pasta. Like, sorry. Lesson learned.
I love that you found time for the food review as well.
Always. I was like, perfect. I'm not letting the food go cold. While the security man comes, we're filming. but I would love your recommendations for places to eat around, because I wouldn't yeah be very familiar with like UCC and around the area. Yeah. But if you have a list of like,
I would say absolutely, I like could definitely.
Hotspots,
yeah, that would on be really cool to do like a series. I feel around
UCC edition.
We would. Oh, people would love it. I was. I guess my next question. I actually have a kind of range of questions. I don't know. Are you familiar with Cassie Stokes
yes
on TikTok? She does yeah, yeah the kind of, you know, best places to eat in yeah Dublin. So I thought it might be fun with your fairly extensive knowledge of the Cork food scene if mm-hmm we did a bit of a quick fire round similar to hers, but for Cork and Ireland rather than Dublin and Ireland. Definitely. So we'll start with the best restaurant in oh Cork, in your opinion.
Oh my God. Oof, it depends on the day. It's a really hard yeah one. I'm going through like my 60
also
episodes.
Also, don't feel like it has to be a quick fire. We can also just discuss.
I might need to think for a second.
Yeah.
Right. Let me think. I'm trying to go through my. Does it have to be Cork City?
No. Anywhere no in Cork.
Okay. So my favorite restaurant is the Lifeboat Inn.
Oh, yeah.
In Cortmark Sherry.
The two lads.
And
the
I know it's in so far away. And like, I know they're on TikTok, but if you've actually tried the food there, it's so worth amazing going down.
Is there a particular dish that you'd be like?
Beef cheek.
Stunning. The beef cheek.
Beef cheek and Guinness chocolate cake. Like,
I have seen their Guinness chocolate so cake on TikTok. It looks unreal.
Good. And like, it's so good that like Sasha's French, and like his parents would be like very particular as to oh what yeah they eat.
Always
they're
with
oh
the
they're very like, if they don't like it, they'll say it. So when they were coming over, we were like, we have to bring them somewhere good. I was like, we can't disappoint them, you know. So we brought them out to Cork Share and they were massive fans. Really, really good food. And then inside the city, I do love Sabor Nordestino for Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
Really good, really
and what
good.
What does kind of Brazilian food consist of? Like, what would you...
Very much barbecue.
Barbecue.
Like Brazilian barbecue. Mm. Yeah, really, really nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then let's do a favorite place in the Marina Market. I feel
oh,
like
yeah,
that's,
absolutely. That's one of your favorite spots.
People love Marina Markets.
Yeah.
So there's actually a new Korean place in there.
Ah. Yeah.
It's called Nana, I think, or something like that. You'll see it. It's like pink and it's down the back.
Yeah.
But they are really, really tasty.
Okay.
Really, really good stuff. So if you're in there, definitely try it.
Okay. Mm. Note all of those then, because they will be, I'm sure they'll be fantastic. What would you say is the best pub in Cork?
Oh, Shinnay.
Shinnay.
Oh, I love Shinnay.
Kind of a nice, would you be kind of deaf, would you be definitely pub over club?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like pub over club any day.
Yeah.
Put me in an old man pub, give me a pint of Guinness, packet of cheese and onion crisps, a bit of live music, and I couldn't be happier.
Would you be a big Guinness drinker?
Yes.
And would you, have you ever tried Murphy's?
Yes.
And you go for Guinness over Murphy's?
I think as well, because like I'm...
The people of Cork are listening, so beware.
I think it often changes, but because I spend so much time outside of Cork, like working and stuff like that, Murphy's isn't often like on the tap.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So I like if we're just ordering drinks and it's just easiest for everyone just to get a Guinness, do you know? But if I am in Cork, I'll go for Murphy's.
Yeah. I suppose if Guinness is flowing as well, it's supposed to be nicer.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, I can't beat a pint of Guinness now. And absolutely. I wasn't always a pint of Guinness. I'm a beer girl as well.
Yeah.
So, but I just drank so much Heineken in college that I was like, I just need to like... Do you know my new drink? And it's so good. Ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Oh my God. If anyone's listening, there's a ginger beer called Holloman's. It's like a blue bottle, but you get it in a lot of the bars. Ask for ginger beer and it's just so good.
And what's the kind of flavouring? Is it just kind of...
It's a bit of ginger, but it's not like too overpowering.
Okay.
And then they put like a slice of lime and bitters, and it's just a really nice, refreshing summery drink. It's so
lovely.
Good. Yeah.
What would you say is the best pizza in Cork?
Oakfire. I do like Oakfire. Now, I wouldn't be massive into pizza. Like pizza wouldn't be like my number one choice.
Oh, what would be a food that you're like would be a big fan of? And maybe we go for your favourite place of that.
Do you know where I love? Tequila Jack's.
Tequila Jack's.
I love, Mexican food.
Yeah, down by they have the domes out by the river. Oh, yeah, lovely.
Tequila Jack's is a great spot. Even on like a Friday, Saturday night, like the tunes do be hopping in there. And they just have like fajitas and enchiladas and like...
Oh, lovely. Kind like of cocktails. Food.
Oh, really, really good. Really good Mexican food. Just like picky bits. Do you know? If you could sit down and like picky bits. Just really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you say is the best coffee in Cork? Are you a coffee drinker?
I am. I do love coffee. Soma Coffee. I do like Soma Coffee. Now, they are pricey. I feel like every time I go back to have a coffee, they go up like 20 cents. And I'm like, lads, I know the environment is tough, but come on.
Yeah.
I think I paid like $4.80 for like a small mocha last week, and I was like,
it's kind of crazy.
It hurt my soul, but I was like, look, it is what it is. But Soma Coffee is fantastic.
Soma Coffee,
yeah,
fantastic. Where would you say is the best restaurant in Ireland?
That's a hard question.
It's a hard question. It kind of opens it up very much everywhere that you've ever been in Ireland.
I'm trying to think, like, my brain is just like flickering through like all these really nice places that I've eaten. I feel like anywhere down along like the coast, like Kerry, Dingle, Doolin, they all have these like magical little restaurants there where they have like the freshest seafood. Can't name them off the top of my head because like I can tell you in the town where they are, but I'd say anywhere along there where you can get really fresh seafood is really, really good. I actually went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Moorings in Waterford.
Lovely.
Down in kind of in and around Ardmore. It's called the Moorings. And like I had crab claws and they were just so good.
So good. So fresh. Good.
Yeah, so that's a really good restaurant that I highly recommend.
Okay, the Moorings. Waterford.
In Waterford, yeah.
Fantastic.
Dungarvan.
What would you say is the best pub in Ireland?
I've been to quite a few. I've been to quite a few pubs.
What if you do a top 10 or something?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think in my head. Like, a lot of my pals live in Dublin, so I spend quite a lot of time up there.
Yeah.
What's
your favourite pub in Dublin?
I don't really... Is it a pub called off Mary Street? It's really cool. It looks like this tiny little workshop. But then you go in underneath and there's like a really cool burger spot.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it is, but it's just off Grafton Street. It's really, really good. But I'm the kind of person that will just like drink in a place like 4 or 5 times and not even know the name of the place.
Yeah.
I just be like, oh, that spot that's off the left there down Grafton Street and know what I'm talking about. We'll go in. Couldn't tell you the name of it though.
You wouldn't really need to know the names as long as you're just going,
good drinks.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
Good drinks.
Yeah, good drinks. Happy out. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna, the next question was, what is the best pizza in Ireland? But if you're not a huge fan of pizza,
wouldn't be a massive pizza fan. Do you know anything that's like stone baked in like the fire ovens, you know, the open fire ovens, anything like that with really fresh ingredients, you can't beat. Yeah but Oak Fire is great in Cork.
We go for a coffee, so and so we say, what's the best coffee in Ireland?
Oh, I love my little cafe down in Kinsale, Wild and Tame.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, if you've ever been, have you been down to Kinsale yet?
I have, absolutely. It's one of my favourite places to go during the summer.
Next time,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, go into Wild and Tame and get a mocha. And Hannah, she's like a female business owner. Like, it's a great spot. And I love it. I get one like nearly every day.
Fantastic.
Bad for my bank account, but good for the well-being.
Yeah, would that be, oh, do you have a favourite restaurant in Kinsale?
Man Fridays. Yeah.
Oh, so it's a lovely spot.
Up by the Spaniard Inn.
Yeah.
So nice. Overlooks all the water and it's just great food.
Oh, Kinsale is just a gorgeous place. I love it in the summer. Like,
yes.
It's driving down.
So
it's
many
so
tourists,
sunny and
though.
There's, yeah, so many tourists.
A lot of tourists. Like,
it's to try and get maybe at an hour where whether you go down in for an evening swim or maybe an early morning swim or something.
Yeah.
Do you have a beach that you like down by Kinsale?
Well, it depends. The closest beach in Kinsale would be the Dock Beach, but there could be often like a lot of seaweed, and I just don't like seaweed.
The water can be quite cold there as well.
Yeah.
In comparison, if you go over the road to Garrettstown, is where I'd probably prefer to swim.
Yeah. So then, if you want to surf and do the sauna, Garrettstown or Gary Lucas is perfect.
Asha, you surf as well.
Well, I try. Sasha is a massive surfer, whereas like me,
he kind of has the hair for it.
I just don't have the upper body strength. I just don't have the balance either. But look, as long as just keep trying.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think we're going to go for another song. We've had Robin's top picks for places to eat and drink in Cork and Ireland. So this next one is a rather summary one, which I think will bring us nicely on to our next topic of discussion, which is Robin's group retreats. Her next one being to Croatia. More quality chats to come, but for now, here's Merk Amber, Belong Together.
I know sleep is friends with death, but maybe I should get some rest, 'cause I've been out here working all damn day. Blueberries and butterflies, the pretty things that greet my eyes when you call and I say I'm on my way. You and me belong together. Spilling wine and homemade drinks, we throw a cheers, the worries sink. Damn it, it's so good to be alive. We know that we don't got much, but then again, it's just
Amber, Belong Together on UCC 98.3 FM. Very summery vibes altogether with that one. So speaking of belonging together, Robin, your group travel adventures take a group of strangers who wouldn't usually belong together and suddenly they're on holidays with each other. Can you tell me a bit about the retreats you've undertaken so far and what the response has been like from participants? Sorry, you're in it.
There you go. I was like, oh, that sounds different. So I launched my first overnight retreat last September. And again, right, going back to getting inspired by other creators, you know, like some of my best friends like Dev and Clodagh, Dev Skeaton and Clodagh Scanlon, like they all run their meetups up in Dublin.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, there's not really down in Cork. I was like, let's try and like just start something, because I feel like as well, like the longer you are online, you often kind of ask yourself the question of like, what is my purpose online?
Yeah.
What am I showing up for online? Like, what do I want to bring? What do I want to give back? And for me, it was like, if I can provide and facilitate a fun, engaging, adventurous space for people to come, that's not the pub or that's not a nightclub,
yeah,
and that can be somewhat affordable, I'll do it. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of had the idea to host my first overnight retreat in Ballyhass up in Mallow.
Oh, cool.
It's like an outdoor adventure center where they have like lovely cabins and there's fire pits and like yoga. And so I put 45 tickets up for sale and I put it at €125. And I wanted to make sure that it was as affordable as possible, yeah, so that you got the overnight, you got yoga, you got three activities, we had O'Flynn sausage come down and like do the food.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know how it was going to go. Do you know what I mean? And that comes back to trying new things and how important it is to continuously evolve and step outside your comfort zone, even as a creator, and launch a trip. But it was received so well, like literally sold out in 7 minutes. And I was like, wow, I am shocked. But yeah, that sold out in 7 minutes. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like exceeded my own expectations.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, obviously, there's a really big need for that in Cork,
yeah,
you know, because a lot of people I even find kind of don't fit into nights out. They don't want to go to nightclubs. Yeah. They don't want to be hungover on the weekends. They want more than that, you know.
Yeah.
So
or kind of wholesome trips.
Yeah, isn't there, and I'm such a like I'm a massive wholesome person. Like I love a few pints, but I will always make time to get outside and do something like that. Yeah. So we hosted that, and it was an absolute blast. Like all the feedback was like, we loved it, but it just wasn't long enough. Make it two nights. So I was like, right, we'll make it two nights. And my second one is in Killary in Galway, out in Connemara, in April.
Fab.
April 12th to the 14th. So that's two nights. But then I was like, why don't we go bigger? Like, let's push the boundaries. Let's try something new. So I teamed up with my friend Neve, who's also a travel creator, and we're hosting our first overnight adventure to Portugal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's so cool. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
And we're in Portugal.
So you fly into Lisbon.
Lovely.
And then it's at like 35 minutes in a lovely seaside village called Cascais.
Ah.
Really, really famous for surfing.
Okay.
Yeah. So we organized it all ourselves. A lot of creators will work with travel companies. Me and Eve were like, let's skip that. Let's actually just go organize it ourselves.
Yeah.
So we did all the outreach. We were chatting and negotiating and finding the best price, things to do, the best itinerary, and trying to find a balance between, you know, slowing down but also getting those fun exhilarating adventures, you know.
Yeah.
So that's in July, and then I was like, let's even go further, let's do a week. So we're launching a sailing trip in Croatia for an entire week, sailing along the Croatian coast in August.
That's
so that
insane.
Launches tomorrow.
Wow. And so I think you said there's 35 places available on that trip.
Yes.
To Croatia.
Yes. Yeah.
So will it be like one big boat, or will there be like multiple? One big boat.
One massive boat. 35 people, a captain, me, Dev and Neve will be hosting it. And then like there's loads of different islands we stop off. So we start in Split and we end in Split. But you basically do a big loop around the Croatian coast.
Yeah.
And there's going to be it's honestly going to be a trip of a lifetime. I cannot wait. I'm like, I'm all over Croatia TikTok right now. And I'm just like, this is going to be
so fun. Croatia's gorgeous as well, and the water, the Mediterranean would be so blue.
I know. Oh. Really good food, loads of little activities that are included in the ticket, and it's just going to be fantastic.
What are you pricing the Croatian trip at for tickets?
So I kind of wanted to have a high ticketed and a low ticketed. Majority of my events are either free or very low priced, because I didn't have a lot of money in college. I always said to myself, if I ever have the platform and opportunity to be able to host and facilitate these things, I will always make sure I do it in a way that like is affordable or somewhat affordable, but you get an absolute incredible bang for your buck, you know?
Yeah.
So like majority are like even 10, €12 here and there. The Portugal trip for 6 days was €589, and that included like all your food, your surfing, your yoga, Sintra Castle,
oh, that's very good,
sunset sailing, And then pool parties, Portuguese barbecue, pizza party. Like, we wanted to make sure that, like, people were getting their money. So then when it came to the Portugal trip, that the ticket isn't decided by us. The ticket price isn't decided by us. It's decided by the actual, we're going with a travel company.
Yeah.
So for that 8 days, it's 1,900 euro.
Okay.
Which is pretty high on the higher side. But again, it's one of those things where you're like, when am I ever going to go sailing for an entire week in Portugal again?
It's what you'd expect when you're kind of thinking of a big boat with a captain, you're sailing around like the coast of Croatia. Yeah, it's definitely.
And that includes like all your activities, includes a big like water party where they give you like big floats that you jump in and you drink insane. Beers and like all, it includes all your food and it's just going to be insane.
That's so cool. Who are the kind of target market with this? Is it just anyone that's kind of, is there a certain age range? Or is it kind of...
No, well, as long as you're over 18.
Yeah.
Do you know, that would be a main thing. Like, looking back on all my other meetups and retreats, it's usually people, again, it's open to any age, but from what I'm seeing, it's very much 21 to like 35.
Yeah.
Do you know, that would be like the kind of age range. But again, I've had like older women, I've had girls bring their dads, and you know, like, it's just been lovely. It's open to everybody. And then for the trips, from what I'm seeing, it's around the same age.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And would you find then that, like, do you think on the trips then there's kind of a nice dynamic of, I suppose, when you bring a bunch of strangers together, mm-hmm. Do you kind of have to do a bit of maybe like bonding exercises or something? Or how does that kind of, how do you integrate those people?
Like, I think anyone that comes on these trips are very much open to meeting new people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're a big group of friends that are booking onto a trip and you're all just going to stick together and not really integrate. So the people that are already coming on these trips are very open. They're like-minded. They're ready to have those conversations that you wouldn't typically have during the week. Mm. They're ready to get to know new people. So it almost runs itself, do you know? But like, we do have like quizzes and we'll do like a friendship speed dating kind of thing to break the ice, or we'll do like just like a meditation or something nice like that.
Yeah.
But it very much runs itself. Do you know, everyone's an adult, everyone's just there to have a good time.
You're dead right that it's exactly those type of people that want to be meeting new people and making new friends that will go on those kinds of trips. So it's, you don't have to do much work.
Not really. Not when it comes to breaking the ice. People are just like happy and buzzing to be there, you know.
It's such a nice alternative maybe to, you know, some people like to do solo travel trips, but like, this is an opportunity if you are looking to meet new people.
Yeah.
It's such a great alternative, I suppose, from, you know, it'd be kind of scary going somewhere by yourself.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Yeah.
And people can be kind of afraid to take that step. But if you're kind of doing that, like, you don't have to organize maybe your own friend group to go on this, that's being done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like 80% of the people are coming solo. And like, that's a question that I get quite a lot. It's like, oh, I don't have friends that like to hike, or I don't have any friends that like to do yoga and go for sea swims.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you can come alone. As in, it's the number one question I get asked before any group trip launch, before any retreat launch. It's like, will people be going alone? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Majority of people will go alone. And what I'm seeing is the people that have come from last September, they're all friends now. Do you know what I mean? So they've met multiple times from last September on my small day like meetups, and they've found their people because of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've found the like-minded people that they've been searching for so long.
That's crazy.
And like, I see them going out and out together, and I, like, I'm on Instagram and I'm like, oh, that is so cute. But again, it all comes back to like, thing about Ireland is like, Ireland is one of the loneliest countries in the world, in Europe right now. You know, 21,000 people have immigrated to Australia last year alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really difficult thing to... A majority are living at home, which is also really hard, because when you go to college and you step into who you are and you have that space to be yourself and try new things, but then you're forced to move back home.
Yeah.
You fall back into that child mind, that childlike kind of experience, because that's where you grew up. So it's not like you can like go out on nights out, because you'll always have your mom being like, where are you off to now? Where are you going now? When are you coming home?
Yeah.
You know, so to be able to kind of get away from that and go on a weekend where you meet those people that you've missed is what I want to build and create, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So the Croatia trip launches tomorrow. The Portugal trip is already booked out?
Sold out, yeah.
Sold out.
24 people.
Fantastic.
Off to Portugal in,
so will
in
people,
July.
Is there a certain time that this goes on sale tomorrow, the Croatia trip that people want to, 4 p.m.
4 p.m. tomorrow. But again, we're kind of giving the exclusive first access tickets to people that are in the kind of like WhatsApp chats.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's anyone that wants to come, just message me on Instagram.
Fantastic.
Like, yeah. Give me the link.
Fantastic. Now, Robin, I know that one of your more recent projects as well is doing up a van and embracing the van life. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, like it was always a dream of mine to like have a van and just have that bit of freedom that comes with van life. So, and Sasha too. So when the opportunity to buy a van off a friend came up like a year and a half ago, I was like, yeah, go on, why not? Not realizing that me and Sasha had never picked up a hammer in our lives. Like, we hadn't a clue what to do. We didn't know any of the regulations. We didn't realize that there's so many hoops you have to jump through to convert a van to a camper van in Ireland. Yeah. They really don't want you having camper vans in Ireland. That's what I got from the entire experience. But once you have someone that's willing to help you and work together on it, you can find out everything online, you know, but it's been an absolute blast. It's still not even like finished yet. It's on the road. It's taxed as a camper van. The hardest part is over, but there's a couple of final touches we want to put on the van, but we'll get there.
Was it costly to do the renovation?
It's as costly as you want it. Do you know, that's the thing about vans is like there's people who will spend 25 grand on a van and 15 grand converting it.
Yeah.
But then there's people who will buy a van for a grand and spend a grand converting it.
Yeah.
So you can make it as fancy or as plain as you want.
Okay.
You can make it as budget friendly or as costly as you want. For my van, I bought it for 4,000 euro. So I was happy to, I was grateful that me and Sasha could split. So it was 2,000 euro each.
Yeah.
And then to actually convert it, pay the tax, pay the person to come out and inspect the van, pay the CVRT, pay the insurance.
Yeah.
You're talking another 4 grand.
Okay.
Now, again, that was just our budget.
Yeah.
But you'll always go over budget too. You have something in mind and it never stays in budget.
Yeah. It's usually how it goes. Is it comfortable to live out of a van?
Yeah. So again, if you're looking to buy a van, like obviously, everyone will have different experiences. The van that we have, it's very much like a weekend van.
Okay.
Yeah, so I personally wouldn't go for longer than like a week.
Yeah.
Only because at the moment, like, it's more dedicated to actually living for a weekend. But like my friend Jess, she lived in her van for 8 months called Reitz. And if you're getting a van, just make sure you can at least try and stand up in it. Cause like there's nothing worse than like trying to do the dishes and you're like bent over and you're like in pain. But no, it's definitely been an adventure.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because like if I'm ever stuck, if I have to go up to Dublin really fast, instead of buying a hotel, I'll be like, oh, just sleep in the van. Yeah.
Do you think that it's maybe like a viable alternative to housing? Cause it's such, obviously the housing crisis is such a huge issue in Ireland at the moment. Do you think maybe van life or maybe looking into a more kind of nomadic lifestyle, could that be the way to go in your opinion?
You know what, it actually really sucks that people have to find alternatives to basic needs like housing.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's honestly breaks my heart to see, like a couple of years ago I think I was a student back in Maynooth and like it was hard to find a room.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine how difficult it is now to find a room, especially for you guys. Like, and it was, and you're already dealing with so much stress with exams and paying fees and getting to college and managing your well-being and your mental health. You shouldn't have to worry about where the hell you're going to live.
Yeah.
And especially with mold and heating, and like you see some of the houses up College Road. And
you hear horror stories.
I'm looking through the window and I'm like, I can see the condensation coming down the window. And I'm like, those poor, they must be frozen.
It's
you know,
insane.
They must be frozen.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, if you're going to think about it, is you're going to spend what, 10, 12 grand on student accommodation or for a year? I don't know how much it is right now, but I can imagine it's around then.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Invest it in a van. Like, a van is 4 grand, spend a summer converting it for 3 grand and you have your home on wheels for a year. Do you know what I mean? You're not paying your electricity bills because you can use solar panels. You have your free water pumps. You know, I'm sure you can get parking on the college campus with a permit and just live out of your van, you know, if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I parked my van outside College Road and I was doing a bit of work on my laptop and it's great.
Fantastic. Robin, I think we are kind of coming towards the end of the slot, unfortunately.
Oh my god, that went so fast.
It went so fast, Cindus. You were so enjoyable to chat to. It's been absolute pleasure interviewing
you. Thanks for having me.
And if you'd ever like to come back on the show, you're very welcome.
Would
if you
love
ever
to.
Have any projects that you want to talk about.
Amazing.
You'd be
would love to.
Absolutely the most welcome to come back on.
Thank you.
So This has been Talking Tunes with Timmy. Do tune in again next Thursday from 12 to 1. I'd only be delighted to have you. I'm going to leave you with one of my favourite artists at the moment. He's playing another concert in Ireland, actually, August the 17th, up in Belfast in Boucherfields. And his name is Noah Kahn, and this is The View Between Villages.
Air in my lungs till the road begins, as the last of the bugs leave their homes again, and I'm splitting the road down the middle, for I've been at the world seems so simple. Feel the rush of my blood, I'm 17 again. Everything's still